This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father God, thank you, Father, that you have overcome this world, Father. Father, you not only wear the crown of glory, Father, but you wear the victor's crown, Father. You are the all-consuming fire, Father, and you have saved us. Death has lost its sting, Father, because of your redemption work. Thank you that we may edify your name, glorify you, because you are worthy, Father. You are worthy to be praised by the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the only name by which we can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure. Thank you, guys. Wow, that was good. All right, my name is Ruan Moko. For you who don't know me, I'm not a pastor at the church, although I sometimes do preach when the pastors want to have long weekends. So I am here. We are busy with a sermon series called Prayer or Pray and Play. Play or pray. We're part two today. So we are going to read a lot of scripture. And it is legal to read a lot of scripture in church. Okay, so there's going to be some of them are going to be up there. Others you need to be able We need to be able to find it in our Bibles, all right? And or you can have an electronic device with the application. There's no issues. So get that handy. I hope it's charged because we're going to read a lot. Okay. So for those who missed it, we had a baptism between services. The water is fantastic. I can be honest, I was in there, obviously, and it is sublime. So if you feel like you want to have a bit of immersion, after the service, hopefully the swimming pool is still there, otherwise the sea is flat. People are going crayfish diving after the service, so the sea is flat, so we can go there. All right, so if you list for a swim, let me know. So we're going to start off by going to Acts 1. Verse 13. Okay, I only have verse 14 up there. It says in verse 13, and when they entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So these 11 disciples, at this stage 11, they just came from this experience we read in the Gospels regarding Christ being crucified and rising up from the dead, from death, and then having this time on earth, these 40 days, where he just ministered to a lot of people. And these disciples are in the upper room, and they are praying. So, you know, one might feel sometimes in church as well that these people that are, you know, spirit-filled and have so much experience in the world, and you know, when they pray, you can feel your things are firing up. Not that we seek an emotional or emotional encounter, but you know, just because of the truth they're speaking, you know, you just feel the movement of the Holy Spirit. And we sometimes get so disheartened by our own way of praying. And it's for me such an amazing thing how the scripture not only includes the holy ones, the holy 11, but also Mary. Not that she, you know, not that women can't be holy, that's not what I'm saying, but women and other men. So it was a whole diverse group that just came together in the upper room and to pray. And I want to just firstly cast down any thought that you think that you can't come to intercession and pray because you're on a certain place and or don't have you're not fluent in the English language like me, so we pray in Afrikaans and stuff like that as well. So, but all I'm saying is there's nothing holding you back. There's nothing holding you back to come, because the amazing thing about the Lord is that He doesn't always, in our diverseness, He doesn't come and just makes us the same. But He overcomes our diversity through Him. You know, He overcomes the differences we have, and He just comes and He just gives us this ability to, despite our differences, just become one accord. All right. Because these individuals became of one accord with the disciples. All right. So, I remember when I was younger. I'm still quite young, I'm sure. But with regards to my spiritual age, I don't know if that's even a thing. Anyway, but so I remember going and coming together with the body of the believers, you know, having a prayer meeting. And I would get angry because people prayed the stuff I wanted to pray about. I'm like, how could they? How could I wanted to say that, and now they have to skip me because I have nothing to say. And, you know, it was so frustrating because, oh, then I just have like three things to say and it's gone. And the previous guy prayed like 11 minutes and 37 seconds. But the thing is, you know, what you later on realize is just how magnificent it actually is. How the Holy Spirit just confirms in your spirit, you know, and you just come into agreement. When previously you thought you had to come up with something unique, or you had to like use words that come out of the Oxford Dictionary. Hopefully all words are in the Oxford Dictionary, but I'm saying the bigger ones. You know, it's just as you grow in Christ, it just all these things just fall away. And so yes, just come to intercession and say it as you know it. All right. Because it is for all, and we all will be in one accord with the Holy Spirit by His grace, and just be able to say what the Spirit leads us to say. All right, so no excuses, everybody is welcome. Okay, and it's okay if you're a bit angry, if I pray what you wanted to pray, just pray it again, because it didn't come out grammatically as it should, so just do it again. All right. So what does Scripture say? So I'm not going to have an exhaustive text about prayer as such, but I am going to go through Scripture and just indicate things that really and truly stand out to me with regards to prayer. All right, so we're going to start off, we're going to read a couple of Scriptures now in succession. 2 Corinthians 1. If you have your Bible, it's not up there. You can make notes, but 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. It's so fantastic if you have like a Bible that's really old, you know the feeling of it, you know, okay, I'm looking for Psalms, so I just go there, and oh, there it is, or you know, it feels so comfortable, but then you have a new Bible, it's like having a new oven or a new braai place, you know, you're not exactly sure how hot does it get. It says 180, but is it 180? You know, so if you have a new Bible, you're struggling to, where exactly is it? So yes, take your time, get to the Scripture, it's fine. All right. I'm not exactly sure if that's the same with electronic devices. I mean, you know where the buttons are. It stays the same. The screen just usually gets larger or smaller. All right. 2 Corinthians 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless him. Bless him. Exalt his name and edify him. Bless thee means to speak well of. Speak well of God. Let's start our prayer by speaking well of God, by proclaiming his name, not saying, God, bless this time, bless this meeting, bless this. Let's start off by, God, I want to bless you. I want to speak well of you. I want to exalt you and edify you because you are worthy. Lord, I want to come in before your presence and acknowledge your greatness. Bless the Lord. And as we bless the Lord through praise and worship, you are just brought into his presence and you're just whelmed by his presence and it just, things of the world just falls away. And why would it be anything any different when we, as a group in intercession, just come together and say, Lord, we praise you. We praise you and we speak well of you. And it's sometimes so difficult, or I find it sometimes so frustrating, and it's maybe just me, because it's the way I'm put together by the Lord's grace, that, you know, it's, I sometimes run out of ways to describe him. You know, where the whole Bible is filled with descriptions of his character, and of his love, and of his attributes, and so, and then I find myself just reaching for words, but you know, our words fall so far short in any case. But you know, and not that we come to him with fancy words, you know, we come with simple words, but you know, just that those things we truly know, just to bring it in front of the Lord and just to describe him, just to try and edify him in a manner that is worthy for his greatness, you know. And I struggle with that, you know, I struggle sometimes with just describing him, because my shopping list is in the back of my head. You know, what needs to, what stamp of approval do I need from God, or you know, what is on my shopping list in regards to needs and wants and things like that. So all I'm saying is that, you know, when we start, we need to start with God, and we need to start by praising him. I use the just a parable, if it's a parable, regarding, you know, when we want to go to missions, you know, on the border was missions to Zambia and Katima and Rundu and all those places. You know, we can have all the skills on board, we can have all the meals on board, we can have all the administrative things sorted out, but if there's no fuel in this vehicle, we are going nowhere. And prayer is this fuel. Praising God is this fuel. Because we can look ready and we can be equipped, but we will go nowhere if there's no fuel in our vehicle. All right. And I'll bring this back to scripture at the end. Right. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? This is such a scripture of upliftment. You know, we read this and we just receive this hope. But what I want you to see from the scripture is that the son needed to come to a place where he's willing to ask. There's a place where you need to come where there's a physical action from your part, where you need to come and say, Lord, I ask. As Moses needed to physically take his staff and hit the ground before the water separated, so we need to come to a place where we ask. The Lord knows, and obviously he knows everything. And he knows what you want, and he knows what you need. But the Lord wants you to ask. That gentleman, Manfred, spoke about, he could have received the Bible from Manfred, and he would have been happy. But it changed his life because he asked, and then he received. He came to a place where he had this yearning, and he asked the Lord, and the Lord says, you asked, and I will give it. And it changed his mind. He fell on his knees, and he cried. If he didn't ask, and he got a Bible, he would have been thankful, I'm very sure. But it wouldn't have broken him so much that the Lord of the universe even hears that small prayer. And sometimes I'm overwhelmed, and I've said this a couple of times, where, you know, the Lord, I can understand that he helps people where there's tornadoes and volcanoes and typhoons and stuff, but, you know, then I ask him this little thing, and then he just grants it. And it breaks me that this little feeble thing, in comparison to what's happening in the world, the Lord still has time to give it. And it's so humbling. It's crazy. But if I didn't ask him, it would probably be to where if I received it without asking, I would have thought, oh, that was good luck, as I would say. Or that was, you know, I would be grateful. But because I ask, and I know it's the Lord just saying, you asked. It just overwhelms me sometimes. So these 11 disciples, and with the woman and the other gentleman, they went to the upper room. And what did what did they do there? Obviously they prayed, but what did they pray for? I'm sure they came, they've been struck by this emotional roller coaster of seeing Jesus Christ on the cross, and then seeing him risen, and being overwhelmed by this whole situation. And they come to prayer meeting and they say, Jesus, we exalt you. We exalt you for taking our sins. It was fresh in their minds. It was raw in their spirits. They came to a place where they spoke well of Jesus. And then they asked. But what did they ask for? They asked for the Holy Spirit. Because Christ promised. Not only did they hear through John the Baptist, but they heard it from Christ himself saying, I need to go. Because if I don't go, I can't send the helper. They asked the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and they received it. If you read through Acts there, it is an amazing thing that happened there. The Lord said, I will send him. But what they had to do was to ask. And so we also need to ask the Lord. And we need to ask him. And yes, sometimes we need to ask him from stuff in our shopping list. Because God expects you to ask. But I think sometimes we limit God in the way we ask. For Psalms 2, verse 8. Ask me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and end of the earth your possession. Ask. Just ask. Just ask. Christ died for everybody. There's no person for who he didn't die. His love brings us into a position where everybody can experience salvation. God knows he wants to save these people. But what does he want from us? Ask for it. Ask for it. We pray too small. You know, I have small children and I pray for them and I pray that the Lord will protect them and keep them close to his heart, but it's too small. I need to pray not only for the city's children to be kept close to his heart, but this nation's children, this continent's children, this world's children, because it's too small. The Lord can be so much greater. And if I ask him, he will give. We're not talking about prosperity preaching here, guys. We're talking about stuff that's in the will of God. What did God promise that we must ask of him? So we as a congregation, as part of the body, as part of the bride of Christ, we need to ask Christ to make his body, his bride, beautiful. Make it beautiful. Bring in those that he has died for. We need to ask for it. The Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek. The action is seek. And we spoke a little bit about this during the week, where we are only in a kingdom if we acknowledge a person as our king. He needs to be our king before we can enter into his kingdom. Otherwise, we're just tourists. Or if we are in his kingdom and we do not acknowledge him as king, then we are nothing but rebels. Seek. In Philippians 4 verse 6, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, we'll say rejoice. Sorry, this is verse 4. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Be specific. Be specific in what you ask of the Lord. There are certain times when we need to have a broad type of prayer, and that's fine. But then there's times where we need to be specific. Prayer and thanksgiving. Lord, we exalt you. We edify your name. Father, thank you for your attributes and your character. Father, thank you for that. We speak well of you. Thank you. Thanksgiving. And everything we need. This is it, Father. We want nations. And we want to feed our family. And we need a new job. Be specific. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Here it comes. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You come to God and you ask, but you need to know that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You need to believe that that which you seek, he will reward you with. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Lord, I'm seeking your kingdom. I'm seeking your righteousness. We need to trust that the Lord is a rewarder of those who seek him. I sometimes, you know, you get in situations, you know, not all situations in life is holy. You know, you get to situations where things are, in situations where things are kind of the opposite. And, you know, we are sometimes filled with anger and or wrath, you know, regarding these things. And the Lord has just laid on my heart a couple of years ago, and I'm still not very good at it, but that the Lord is actually showing me that which vexes me, vexes his spirit, which is within me. And then if it vexes his spirit, he's actually giving me the knowledge of where to pray into. Instead of getting angry, he's giving me the ability to diagnose and to get and to pray in exactly, like a double-edged sword, going exactly to the root. Be specific. One Timothy 2. Verse 1, first of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of our God. Paul had Timothy as a disciple. Timothy was more than just a disciple. Timothy was a son to Paul, a spiritual son. They went on many mission trips together. Timothy knew the doctrine of Jesus Christ through Paul probably better than any other person by spending so much time with Paul. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy because Timothy was left behind as a pastor in Ephesus, and Paul needed to go to Macedonia. And Paul is writing Timothy this letter and explaining to him, Timothy, you are this pastor. This is how you have a church, and it is orderly. Or it is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is how you need to do it. And he says, first of all, pray. If you want to have a church that edifies the Lord, first of all, pray. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for whom? For all people. Not just the people in our congregation. Not just the people in our town or in our region or in our country or even on this continent. For all people. Because Christ's blood is worthy to wash them all. First of all, pray. This is the fuel for our mission trip. Is prayer. First of all, pray. We need a functioning engine. And an intercession is that. Irrespective of how you pray, how you look in the morning at 5:30, don't worry. When you pray, our eyes are closed, so we don't look at you. Paul uses the word godliness when writing to Timothy in these couple of books, chapters. Only the first place in the New Testament scripture where it's used, godliness. And then he uses it 9 times. Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, this is godliness. This is it. This is how you get godliness into your congregation. And he says, first of all, pray. You understand that this is not a nice thing to have. This is critical. Critical to our congregation is prayer. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. So we don't have a king on earth, I mean. But we have a president. President Hage Geingob is our president. And we need to pray for him. And all of those who are placed in a position of authority. Irrespective of how we feel or think, or even the things we see, it is critical for a church to pray for kings. And I'm going to show you why. Solomon wrote, in Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And he turns it wherever you will. And what do we need to do? We need to ask. Lord, turn it. Because all the kings in all the world, all their hearts is in his hand. And God knows what is godliness. He knows what is right. He knows what is good. But what he wants us to do is to say, Lord, take his heart and turn it to you. The Lord has the power, but we as a congregation need to ask, and we will receive. What are we asking? Are we asking for his heart? Or are we Are we praying for his actions and his thoughts? We need to come to a place where we say and we specific and we pray to the Lord, Lord, take his heart and let it flow with living waters. And not only our nation, all the nations. Can you see what power lies within a congregation that prays? He gives us nations by turning a king's heart. Can we have music? Is it possible? So in 1 Timothy 2:8 it says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. In every place I want you to lift your hands. I want you to pray. This is a sign of godliness in church. And what do we pray for? We lift our hands and we say, God, I exalt you. I speak well of you. God, I'm thankful. God, but we ask. We seek and we ask. Into your presence, and we can pray to you, and we can exalt you, edify you, because you are worthy for it. And by the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we seek that which is your will. When we had intercession, I just saw this sword, and every time we pray in the will of the Lord, it just gets slid over the sharpening stone that makes. Every time we pray, we just go over and we will sharpen our swords and we will sharpen our swords. This double-edged sword that penetrates bone and marrow and discerns the things of the heart. Thank you, Father God, that you've given us power in our words. That the power of life and death is in our tongues. Father, I want to come to you, Father, and I want to ask you, Father, to give us power in our tongues that give life. Let us ask for things that bring life, Father. Father, give us this revelation of the heart of the King, Father, and give us revelation of what we can speak over it, Father. Because you can turn it. You can change it, Father. You are the only one. That is a rewarder of those who seek him. I want you to come forward. If there's somebody here that feels that they've come to a place where they don't feel they even want to exalt the Lord's name because of agony, or anything of the world. 2 Corinthians says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. I just speak that the Lord, through His mercy, will comfort you. He will heal you. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. If there's anybody here that just feels they are ill-equipped to pray, if they feel there's this blockage, if they need to pray in front of a group of people or in front of their own families, I want you to come forward as well. Thank you, Father God, that we can just ask you, Father, to equip us, make us efficient and diligent.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.